Our scripture reading this morning will be taken from the book of James. James chapter 1, beginning with verse 9. And I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. James chapter 1, beginning with verse 9. But the brother of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position. And the rich man is to glory in his humiliation. Because like the flowering grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flower falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away. I've often used the phrase in lessons recently, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. How is that possible? For the last to be first and the first to be last. I think we have an illustration of that in this particular passage from James in these verses, of how what the world sees as bottom on the rung of the ladder is to view itself as being lifted up or exalted, and how whom the world might interpret as being top on the rung of success should have a mindset that says, we're not all that great. And the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Why didn't God just make us all equal? And why hasn't He blessed us all with the same amount of material goods, looks, education, athletic ability, popularity, and power? You say, man, if I could answer that, my troubles would be over. You have more than one child? I'm from a family of 13. I don't have a name, I'm a number. I'm number 6. That warped middle child. Anna, you know about being the middle child and being warped? It happens. Middle children just don't get the breaks, do they? They're not the first. The ones who get all the best discipline and education and usually are the favorites. And they're not the last. The ones who get pampered and babied and spoiled, the middle children are just, sorry. You're just out. What do we know about children? We love them all. And we love them the same in the sense that each one, though different, is still loved by the parent. What if we were all the same? You know, when God started out, it says, and He made them male and female. Man and woman created He them. Why did He do that? Because, you say, that's what makes the world go round. If you don't have male and female, then you don't have anything being brought forth when He says, be fruitful and multiply. Right? Very different, the first two human beings that walk the earth. But we understand why God did that. They didn't look the same. They didn't have the same muscle mass. They didn't have the same physical appearance. They didn't have the same physical function. And yet they were created as God needed them to be. And we are grateful that they were different. Aren't we? You are what you are because God deemed that to be best. You were born where you were born at the time that you were born because God deemed that to accomplish His will the best. We each, I believe, as God told Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1, from before you were in the womb, I knew you, and I appointed you, now in Jeremiah's case, to be a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah was making excuses. God had come to call him to be a prophet, and Jeremiah was saying, not me, not me, I'm just too young for you. And God says, don't you tell me what you are. He didn't really use those exact words. But He says, I know who you are, and I know why you are, and this is your purpose in life. You say, but I haven't discovered my purpose in life. Well, hopefully today's lesson will help. Because regardless of whether you're at the top or the bottom, feel yourself to be strong or weak, beauty or the beast, smart or not quite so, God has put you here to glorify Him. And that is your job. That is your reason for living. And so what we're going to look at in today's lesson, we're going to focus upon the brother of low degree, because I thought we'll probably more identify with that one than the rich man. And I'm going to deal with the rich man this afternoon after the Easter egg hunt, when all that chocolate is flowing. But the brother of low degree is to rejoice. Now just think about that for just a minute. How can someone of humble circumstances, abilities, lack of avenues for greater education or wealth, how can someone be happy in that condition? It really is a state of mind. And James, whom I believe to be the brother of our Lord Jesus, the half-brother, same mother, different fathers, of course, James is telling us that each brother in the Lord is to be a person of faith. Now, I know that sounds masculine. It stands for sisters too, right? And the sister of low degree should rejoice. Because if we don't have the concept that I am God's and He has made me and He has blessed me and He has given me everything that I have. Verse 17 of this same chapter, he's going to say, every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation nor shadow due to change. Now listen to that passage again in light of who you are, what you are, where you are, and what you've got. Is there nothing good in your life? Do you not have relationships that you're blessed with? Do you not have the ability to advance? Do you not have some physical ability to accomplish that which is necessary in life and then to give to others? Everything good that you've got has come from where? It's God-given. For a reason. It cometh down from the Father of lights. God blessing me so that I might become a blessing. We had a conversation yesterday with our grandchildren that are in Memphis, and I'm sorry that they're in Memphis. I'd a lot rather them be right here in Buena Vista. But Evie, Idri, and Jack had just finished watching a movie, I think just the night before, that we had recommended to them off of Amazon Prime. And I said, get those kids to watch The Secret of the Cave. How many of you have ever seen the movie, The Secret of the Cave? See, it's not all that popular. Probably still won't be, but at least it's going to be on the internet on this sermon. Somebody's going to say, I've got to look that up. The Secret of the Cave. And so we were talking first to Evie. She's 11 years old. And the first thing she said is, Papa, I love that movie. I said, what movie is that? The Secret of the Cave. I said, well, good for you, Evie. What did Jack think of it? Oh, he hid his face. He was scared. Jack didn't want to talk about the secret because it was a mystery. And in the mysteries, things are going on in the movie that you don't know if it's a ghost, an angel, or someone else. Am I piquing your interest? Write it down if you need to. The secret, it really is a kid's movie. And the way I presented it to the grandkids was, it's like a Nancy Drew or a Hardy Boys. It's a mystery that the main character is a 10-year-old boy and he's trying to figure things out. What's going on in this little Irish village that his father has basically dumped him off in while his father goes to a seminar, and he is just surrounded by relatives, but for him they're strangers because he's never met them before, and strange things are happening. And it's not until you get to the very end of the movie that you see the moral of the story. And I'm not going to give it to you. But the fact that I'm bringing it up in this lesson says that there is a moral to this story that goes along with the theme of what we're talking about today. And let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. We don't all have to be the same. In fact, God never intended for us to all be the same. What He intended for us to each have our place and to serve Him diligently wherever that place or time was. So this brother of low degree, let's just imagine him to be poor. Let's imagine him to be on the lower end of the social scale. Not popular. Let's just imagine this brother of low degree possibly not to have the best of educations. You say, would you quit it, preacher? That looks like me a whole lot. Let's just imagine this brother of low degree to have not had a whole lot in life that he could call a success. And he's sitting next to someone else in the pew that wears the best suit you've ever seen. It's tailor-made. He's got wealth coming out his ears. He's got influence over the community. And everybody wants to greet him and walk right past this other brother. Now, if you don't think they have a problem in the church in where James is sending this out, of course, he's sending it out to the church, the Jews of dispersion, so it's to every church. But in chapter 2, when we get to that, there are rich and poor in the same congregation. One is getting the honor, and one is told to sit at the back. That's in James chapter 2, so this is not just academic. But let's just imagine this brother of low degree, and he really doesn't think he's been blessed all that much by God. In fact, he's a little concerned that maybe God has forgotten, not simply to bless him, but maybe even who he is. Does God know my name? Do you ever think that? Do you ever feel that way? It's not difficult. All you have to do is self-pity, and you're there, right? So think about what James is addressing when he says, let the brother of low degree rejoice. I don't have anything to be happy for. Let him rejoice in that he has been exalted. Now, the word exalted in the Greek is hupos, or hupo. And what it means is altitude. You say, how we know about altitude? We live in it. It means to be elevated. It means to be lifted up. One version actually reads, and this is the ERV, it means God considers you to be important. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that God considers you to be important. I like that version in that case, don't you? What does it say? It says it's not about me. It's all about God and how He sees me. Have you ever been loved? Does it make a difference? Say, sometimes. What's it like to really be loved? For someone to want to be with you? For someone who cares enough about you that they give their all to you, to make you happy, to see you smile, to spend time with you? That's our Father in heaven. There is no way I should be down on myself when my God loves me. And notice this is a brother. And so we're going to explore the ways that a brother, a Christian, has been hupost, exalted, elevated, gained altitude, been lifted up. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 32. What's the greatest blessing God has given you? You know you've got life and breath and strength and talents, maybe one, maybe ten. What's the greatest thing, though, that God has given to you? Listen to the psalmist. This is Psalms 32, beginning with verse 1. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. How great a blessing have we been given by God by forgiveness of sins? Do we even think about it anymore? It's been so long since we were baptized into Christ to have our sins washed away that blessing has somehow taken not just a back seat, but it's on the back 40. The psalmist says, you really have been blessed. Exalted, he might say. Lifted up, he might say. Shown the compassion of God, he might say. When your sins have been forgiven. Gone is all my debt of sin. A great change is brought within. And to live I now begin, risen from the fall. Yet the debt I did not pay. Someone died for me one day, sweeping all the debt away. Jesus paid it all. Were you singing that song in your head? Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he has been exalted. That should be enough right there for me to have a good attitude today. I'm forgiven. My God died for me. We celebrated His body, His blood, representing that debt that needed to be paid, but I couldn't pay it, and He did it for me. Next time you're down in the dumps, remind yourself you're no longer burdened with guilt. I have been lifted up. The psalmist goes on to say, turn with me now to Psalms 40. I have been lifted up from what? I waited patiently for the Lord, verse 1, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction. Hear that? Brought me up. Out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. You know, someone that's excited about their faith is contagious. I believe someone who is excited about their faith often sings. And that just can't be hidden when you've got a song on your heart. And the psalmist says, I am excited, I am singing because I have been taken out of the pit. My feet were bogged down in the mud. Have you ever seen a cow caught in a bog? We had a creek bottom that ran through our pasture. It didn't run very often. It mostly was a puddle here, a puddle here. And then it turned to a mud hole. You think quicksand. That's about what this mud. And we would have old cows get caught in those bogs. And it seemed like they were always pregnant if they were caught in the bog. And so we had actually two that we had to deliver. Because if we didn't get her out of there soon, not only was she going to die, but so was her calf. My dad had a method. He would buy the cow on her last legs that was pregnant and bring her, because he said, then you get a brand new calf out of it. Well, that's great if she lives. Not so much if she dies. I don't know how many cows we were pulling out of the bog. They'd get down in there and their feet would get stuck, and then they'd struggle and struggle and lay down. And once they laid down, what did we know? They'd given up. They're going to die right there. We had to get them out of there. And more often than not, that was accomplished and we got them out. The psalmist is saying, I was stuck in the bog and my Lord came and freed me. Freed me from what? I will praise His name. Why? Blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven. The Lord lifts up those He loves, and He loves us enough. For God so loved the world, help me out, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. But you know what else God has done for us? He's given us purpose. He has lifted us up from the mundane. I'm not just a slog, a cog. I'm not just a donkey on the treadmill. I am that which God has made for a reason. I live for Him. To serve Him. To bring Him glory. To honor Him. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. I am lifted up because He has loved me enough to die for me and forgive me of my sins. And then He has given me a reason because now I live for Him. He's given me purpose, focus, a goal. You know when we get depressed? It's not because we're thinking about God. No. It's not because we're seeing Christ on the cross. No. It's not because we're thinking about the brethren and how we can be of service. No. It's not because we love the church and we just want to get there and worship together with our brothers and sisters in Christ and sing God. That's not why we get depressed. No. Why do we get depressed? Figuratively speaking, because we're just looking in a mirror and we don't like what we see. We get down because we get to thinking about ourselves too much. and we start taking to heart everything that's ever happened to us, everything that's gone wrong, every wrong that someone else has committed, and we begin to think, well, I don't have to put up with that. And there he hung. Why? Because he paid my debt. Jesus wasn't thinking about himself. Not that it didn't cross his mind, Lord, let this cup pass from me. If there's any other way to do this, please let it be so. But then he died for you and for me to give me a reason to live for him. The other way that God lifts us up, besides forgiving us of our sins and giving us purpose in life, is he gives us a new attitude toward each other. You love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself. These are the two greatest commandments. You know what love means? I've said it once, I'll say it more times again. Love is doing what's best for another. What's best for another, regardless of the cost or how they respond. That's Christ on the cross. He did what was best for me. It cost him his life. And he did it even though I might not accept forgiveness from him. Love is doing what's best for another, regardless of the cost or how you're treated in return. When God says, love me, that means I do what God would have me to do. When God says, love your neighbor, I look at the things that my neighbor needs. And I do it, even if it costs me dearly and even if they're not grateful, because that's love demonstrated. I have purpose to live for God. I have focus to encourage and to serve. When you go through life simply living for yourself, you'll find yourself cranky, frowny, critical, and on top of all that, discouraged. You just don't have a whole lot of joy. But that's not what this passage said. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. How am I exalted? I'm forgiven. What is my purpose? To live for God. How do I view you? I love you. When was the last time you told your parents you loved them? I had the fortunate opportunity this week to say to my mom, love you, Mom. She says, oh, I love you, Stanton. And I said, no, you don't. I'm number 6. You don't even know my name. If I told my mama that, I'd break her heart, wouldn't I? She's going to listen to this CD and I'm going to catch it. If you ask my mama who's her favorite, she'd say me. No, she wouldn't. No, she wouldn't. She say, I don't have a favorite, but don't tell anybody else. I really do like you. That's what she'd say. Our God loves us dearly. Let the brother of low degree rejoice. I don't have to be at the top of the society. I don't have to be looked as valuable by everybody else. If my Father loves me, if my Father forgives me, if my Father directs me, if my Father says and walk arm in arm with this brother, this sister, then that is enough for me, because the last way I'm lifted up, exalted, gaining altitude, is after I've died. Heaven waits for those who have walked in the Lord. Talk about being lifted up. It literally is going to happen. And the trumpet will sound. The archangel's call will go forth. Christ will descend on a cloud, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then those of us who are left alive will rise together with them to meet the Lord in the air. If you can't get anything else out of being exalted in this life, that your sins have been forgiven, that God loves you, and that you can now love your neighbor, then think about that day when you are lifted up from the very ground upon which you walk to meet the Lord in the air. Do you think you're going to be happy then? Oh, I hope so. But don't wait till then for it to dawn upon you how you're blessed. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. Really? For me? Did you ever have someone build a place for you? Find a place for you? Make room for you? What's it like? Oh, wow. That's being cared for, isn't it? On that last day, God's going to prove all of His promises true. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 7, it's pictured as a bride adorned for her husband going to their honeymoon, the New Jerusalem. Gone is all my debt of sin. A great change is bought within. Now I'm free to walk as God would have me to be. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. As we stand and as we sing.